Of course. Ruth Walker moved to take his place as Deacon stood up from the bed. It was a milder version of his worst nightmare, having Ruth come between himself and Caroline in bed. She hadn't seemed to favor Joe when he was courting Caroline, and when her husband died, when Caroline had begged him literally on her knees to let Ruth come and live with him, he had anticipated trouble, even now after they'd been together under one roof for the best part of 4 years. It still made Joe uneasy, reaching out for Caroline at night, wondering whether Ruth could hear them from her own small room. That hadn't stopped him, though, not even close. And 2-year-old Zerelda was the living proof. Another reason why he had to have that look around outside, Zerelda and her older brother Jacob, were more precious to him than the livestock. Anything or anyone who threatened them was automatically Joe Deacon's mortal enemy. Now, on the other hand, if wolves should come along and snatch Ruth from the yard one of these days...
"What is it, Joe?" asked Caroline.
"Excuse me? All of a sudden you were smiling there." Joe wondered whether she could see him blush by candlelight. The lie came easily from practice covering his thoughts about her mother. "I was just thinking," he replied. "It's probably a snake, maybe a fox. All this excitement over nothing."
"Then for heaven's sake, come back to bed."
"A snake or fox still has to go," he said. "I'd hate to lose the chickens or have any of the horses snake bit."
"You'll be careful, won't you?" Caroline demanded.
"Absolutely," Joe replied, taking his Henry rifle off the wooden pegs that kept it mounted on the wall. Another squeal of protest echoed from the barn. Joe Deacon frowned and pumped the Henry's lever action, making sure he had a cartridge in the firing chamber. He had almost reached the door when Caroline hissed after him, "You'll need a light." He turned one final time and found both women watching him. "I've got the moon," he said. "It's one night shy of full. Now hush, before you wake the children." It was something of a miracle that Jake, at least, hadn't already come to join them full of questions. If he was forced to shoot a fox or snake, it would wake up the young ones, but by that time he'd be finished with the dirty work. "What if it's not a snake or fox?" Joe asked himself and felt a little chill slide down his spine. Most of the wolves and cougars had been killed or driven out by now. Coyotes were a possibility, and there were still supposed to be a few old bears around, though Deacon hadn't seen one for himself. Coyotes were the largest predators he should expect, Joe finally decided. Well, at least the largest on 4 legs. That brought him to the other problem, human beings. Living off alone the way his family did, Joe Deacon had to keep an eye peeled day and night for strangers passing through. The Indians were more or less confined to reservations now, and any who resented it had managed to restrain themselves from going on the warpath during recent years. White men were something else. All right in town, where everyone was civilized or made a practiced show of it, but out here in the country it was different. His nearest neighbor lived 8 miles away, due west. Joe Deacon never trusted strangers on his property. "It won't be people," he decided, "but I'm ready for them if it is." Was he? "Bar the door behind me," Deacon told his women, narrowing his eyes to slits against the candle's light before he stepped outside. He pulled the door shut with his left hand, steadying the Henry in his right, and waited until Caroline or Ruth had set the sturdy wooden plank in place, securing it. Moonlight flooded the yard and showed him nothing. Cautiously, holding the rifle cocked, he started for the barn. The prowlers do not speak. They have rehearsed their gestures and the wordless hissing, clicking signals that direct each other to go here or there, do this or that, kill him or her. The isolated ranch is new to them, but they do not feel lost or out of place. They make themselves at home wherever fate or fortune sends them, living off the land or, preferably, off their fellow men. Tonight they have the scent of easy pickings in their nostrils, and they are immune to fear. It wasn't always so, of course. They've been hunted in their time with grim determination by professionals and amateurs.